speakers, who is Emily.
Thanks, Charlie.
My name's Emily, I'm an addict.
Hi.
It's always really weird doing this with a microphone. I did the share here like 4 years ago maybe, and I was just kind of laughing to myself, remembering how different it was. I think I came and I spent like an hour getting ready before, like figuring out what I was gonna wear. I had like a full face of makeup, I did my hair. I wrote like notes on the bus on the way into town of what I wanted to say, and I was like, I need to make these points. And I actually made them all, and I came away from that chair like, yes, nailed it. And it's so different to how I share now. And it's kind of scarier than anything, because I have literally no idea what I'm going to say a lot of the time. So it's a bit of a Russian roulette. Hopefully it'll be good. I'm instantly regretting four shots of espresso I had before this meeting as well. I was walking here and I was kind of nervous actually, because this is a big meeting, you know. It's one of the biggest ones in London, and there's something kind of unnerving about sitting in front of a huge crowd of people and just sort of saying really personal stuff, even though we're all here for the same reason. It's this kind of, you really expose yourself, you make yourself vulnerable in any meeting you're in, whenever you share whatever you're sharing. And it's one of the beautiful things about recovery, but it's one of the really scary parts about recovery. It's the fear that, like, what if I say something that makes people hate me or dislike me, and what if they judge it, or, you know, all that stuff. But the reality is I'm sat in a room where there's a lot of people I know. There's, like, people I haven't seen for years, or people I see intermittently, and it's nice to see them. There's people I love in the room. It's just, it's amazing, and that somehow has kind of developed over time. And I was walking here and I was starting to feel quite anxious. I was like, shh, I'm being recorded, I can't swear. I was like that. And I was sort of like, God, what am I going to share about? And I just had this moment where I was walking here through Trafalgar Square and it was like insanely busy and there's people everywhere. And I somehow managed to just kind of feel peace, and I managed to feel kind of still and okay, just walking on my own. And, I mean, it was brief, I'm not feeling that now, but it's kind of amazing that through recovery I've somehow managed to cultivate a feeling of inner peace. And it's not there all the time, but I can get it back when it goes, and it might be fleeting, it might last for weeks. But yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I don't really know where to start. I guess I came into recovery when I was young. I went to treatment when I was about 16. I was 16. I've been using for quite a few years before then, and it's weird. I've been talking about my using a little bit more this year because I celebrated kind of like a clean time milestone, and well, for me anyway, and it feels more relevant to talk about it now. Like, our using was all the same in a lot of ways, but I still, like, I don't know, it's hearing about the behaviour is really beneficial for me. And yeah, I mean, I started using young. I came from quite a, I think like a lot of people in recovery do, came from a bit of a crazy home. It was quite, I guess, broken. There was a lot of abuse growing up, quite severe, and on many different ends of the spectrum. I went to a convent school as well, so that wasn't exactly the healthiest of upbringings. And it was very confusing. And I remember from a really young age, never feeling happy, really. I don't remember having memories in my childhood where I felt happy. And I maybe remember doing things that were good or fun or exciting, but I don't really remember feeling that. I just remember it being kind of miserable the whole time from a really young age. And that carried on, just kind of carried on. And, you know, I was really young. I was young when I found stuff like eating disorders. I found, like, escaping into music or to books or to films was... I would become completely obsessed by stuff and just immerse myself in it completely. And I still do now, but I kind of manage to channel it in a healthy way sometimes. And that, you know, that progressed. And it was always this kind of pursuit of things that were self-destructive, I think, a lot of my using. Everyone's very different. I feel like people use for different reasons, and it's not kind of one-size-fits-all thing, but... you know, even in my recovery, looking at the behaviours that I am prone to, they always come back to a kind of self-punishing thing of, like, I'm not good enough, or this is what I deserve. Even if it's me hurting other people, it kind of comes back to a core belief of, like, this is who I am, I'm not a good person. And, you know, feeling that at a really young age is, like, it's quite shocking to me now, and it was just something I was used to, but I'll see like, 15-year-olds smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, my God, what are you doing? And I will, like, go up to them and say, are you okay? Like, because I can't comprehend how someone so young and tiny can be so, you know, in a place where, you know, it's a cigarette, it's not some of the worst things in life, but you know, it's weird. But it was very normal, and it was kind of like, it was a role that I slotted into really easily. I remember when I first started using drugs, I kind of just resigned myself to the fact that I would probably use them every day. I didn't really have a lot of denial coming in. I just kind of felt like, especially when I was using drugs, this is what I'm kind of destined for. A life of drug use, and that in a way kind of absolved me of any responsibility of having to sort of make my life something I wanted it to be, or to be an adult, or to be a teenager at the time. I didn't have to worry about trying anything in life. Didn't have to worry about success or failure, because I just wouldn't try it, and I kept myself in this box. And that was my using, really, in a nutshell. I mean, like, physically, all the stuff that happened, but the mental process behind it was always this very, very self-hating process, very kind of like, I think I kind of just like lay down and rolled over, and I was like, okay, life, just do what you're going to do, because I didn't feel like I had any say in what life was. I didn't feel like I could have a life. So yeah, that was using, and I luckily got into treatment really quite young, and I remember going to this treatment centre, and I remember being 16, and I remember walking in, and there was like steps and traditions on the wall. It was 12-step, and I remember thinking, oh my God, what have I got into, what am I doing here? And everyone there was so much older than me. They'd been really hammering using for a long time, and I felt like this weird combination of not feeling deserving of being there, like I hadn't earned it. And I felt this kind of shame. I felt like someone else who is worse than me should be here. But I also just felt like, well, hey, I can just go out for another 10 years and use and come back. Like, there's more to do. Everyone else is here older. So I relapsed shortly after treatment. I got in a relationship in treatment. Do not recommend that if anyone is here for treatment. Didn't end well. But at the same time, it's a process I had to go through, and I did it. I relapsed, and long story cut short, I kind of got clean again, and it was a really long, slow process. I did it on my own. I did it, thank you. Did it coming to meetings where I could, and I didn't live in London at the time, so I had to travel far to them, and it was a bit of a mission getting clean again, but eventually I found my way to London, and this meeting was the first meeting I did in London. I came here, and I met a few people here who I know now, actually, still. And I met my first sponsor at this meeting. It's really surreal being here, because when I did the chair here last, it was about 4 years ago. And it's weird coming back. And I think often, like, I look back at the way using was, and I feel so far removed. I'm getting really close and I'm really far away from the microphone. Sorry if this sounds really weird. I keep sort of, like, especially with... clean time birthday recently, I was looking back and I was like, God, I can't believe that was a life that I lived in using, where it was like, it was so normal to do such extremely painful and destructive things and be in that every day. And that's such a big change. But then even in recovery now, I look back at where I was a few years ago in recovery, and even just a year ago sometimes, and it amazes me how much change happens. And I never feel in the moment like change is going to happen. I feel like things are going to stay the same forever, but they change. And this last year has been one of the toughest years of recovery. I ended a relationship. I self-harmed for the first time in about 4 years. That was really tough. I ended up, and there's a lot of shame in everything I'm saying right now still, like I'm churning on the inside. I went on antidepressants. I had like a lot of family stuff going on. I've had to have a couple of operations. Like this is a lot of. It's been tough, and it's been no bed of roses by any stretch of the imagination, you know. And that's life. Life is this kind of huge mix of like glorious highs and like extreme lows and something in the middle. And in spite of all that, and this is the only message I've had at times this year when things have been really bad, I stay clean. And sometimes that's all I needed. And I can shame myself for like for having turned 5 and have gone through all the things I've gone through. And a lot of them were self-created. And I can feel shame about that being a certain amount of clean time. But really, at the end of the day, that does nothing for me. And there is no should or shouldn't. You know, there's no way you should necessarily be at it. Everyone's different. Everyone's recovery is different. And for me, it's kind of been about finding what works for me. I did a lot of meetings in my first few years of recovery that just didn't work for me. I hung around with people who were really quite disrespectful to me or didn't treat me well or who I didn't really like or who I didn't get on with. And I did. I put myself through whole situations like college courses and jobs, like stuff that I didn't... We all have to do some jobs that we don't want to do at times, but I would just kind of endure things. And I think that's a lot of the sort of like surplus stuff from using. I feel like I just have to endure life sometimes. I feel like I just have to get on with it, muscle through and do stuff that I hate. And it's so different now, you know, like if one thing that I would say to newcomers that I only kind of realised this last sort of year or two in recovery is to kind of trust, and it's hard when you are new, but to eventually, to kind of like slowly trust yourself and trust what feels right. I spent a long time in recovery never trusting myself, never going with what I felt was right for me. And now I try and do that, and so now I go to meetings that work for me. I hang around with people who kind of like, you know, they give me energy, they give me life, they don't take it from me, and I can give it back, and I can love them and they can love me, and nothing's expected from it. And sometimes we might fall out and we might have shit, but it somehow works itself through, even if it's not okay. And you know, like as well, I found like doing the step work and having a sponsor that works for me is the best as well. There's a lot of stuff in like recovery literature I don't gel with at all, like some terminology and some whole concepts that I just hate. And what I've learned is that I can take that stuff and I can use it in a way that does work for me. And I can be with a sponsor who's kind of flexible with that, and we kind of go through stuff, and if we need to reword it, reword it, and it's kind of life-changing. I've just started the steps again, and it's weird how doing them every time, like there's answers that I'll do from the green and gold, and like looking back at the answers I used to give, it's changed, and like it sometimes I'll be answering something and it'll go from this kind of like indignation and like trying to prove the question wrong, and then I'll kind of like work through it and come out the other side. And I don't know, I find that being in recovery it allows me to kind of be flexible with stuff. It allows me to be able to change my mind about things. And yeah, I mean, like for as difficult as life can be sometimes, it's like recovery has given me a life, and it's not always easy, but it's an amazing thing, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And like when I just turned 5, my sponsor said to me, she was like, one of the things that like I went away, and she said, while you're away, just write a list of things you want to do in the next 5 years of your recovery. Like, what else do you want from life? And it's really scary, and it's stuff on that list is like sort out my finances. I've already started doing that, and it is just as painful as you think it would be. It's horrible. And like I don't know, like learn how to ride a motorcycle, like stuff that I look at and I'm like, I couldn't do that. But it's really just normal for a lot of people, but I kind of like cast myself down so much, I believe I can't do anything. And recovery now is kind of about possibility for me. What can I give myself, what can I do with my life that's gonna work, and make it something that I want to stay clean for. So yeah, it's an amazing thing. I was talking to my friend about that the other day, and she mentioned that kind of phrase. It's like we put things down in the order that they kill us. And it's really true still. It's really true. It's slow and it's gradual, but I find that kind of I get there in the end, and I imagine I've reached my 15 minutes, so I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.